Welcome and good morning, Easter people. It is wonderful to gather here. We are gathered in His name, and we are welcoming people, and we give thanks for that, and we give thanks to God that we can be. May the Holy Spirit be poured upon our worship of Him this morning. May we know the God of openness, life abundant, and resurrection in God's word, in His holy music, in our prayers. May it all be to glorify God. May we know blessing here in God's sanctuary and peace in our souls. We are all welcome to experience the risen Christ, who is most certainly here with us this morning. We have a delight and a treat this morning. Our regional elder, which just means he's very old. No, I'm just kidding. John Kixmiller has joined us. He is among us. He's going to come up and say a word or two to us about regional elders and about himself. John and I have followed each other throughout this this region, and so we never know when we're going to show up in each other's lives. And he is most welcome and a really, really great guy. So.
Wow, that's a lot to live up to. Huh? Thank you, Evie. You're welcome. It's good to be here this morning and get to have a chance to meet with you and to worship with you. I am your new regional elder, as Evie said, and I'm grateful for being able to serve in that role. My wife and I live on the south side of Indianapolis at Edgewood and 135, and we have one son. He just turned 30 years old. And he and his wife have a little boy who's 17 months old. So we're new in the grandparent world, too, and love that. But it is good to be with you, and I look forward to getting to know you better over the next few months and years. And on behalf of the Christian Church in Indiana, we thank you for your ministry here. Grateful that things are going well, and grateful that Evie is here with you. As she said, we've known each other for quite a while, and it seems like our paths keep crossing. And
Yes. It's
always a good thing when they cross. Right. God bless you.
Yeah. God bless you. Thank you. Before I get started in the announcements, I just want to thank, I thought about this. I need to thank all of the people in this season of Lent and Holy Week and Palm Sunday with the baptism and each stop along the way to the cross and then for Easter. I could go on and on about how many people worked behind the scenes that you know nothing about. And each one just did it in concert without any direction. They just joined in and did everything that made it beautiful and made it meaningful. And they were so, so Christ-like in all that they did. Not one crossword, not any irritation. And I want us to applaud. There are some that will be here. I'm not going to name names because then I will leave someone out, and that would break my heart because each one contributed to this wonderful Lent and Easter season. And so let's just applaud all that gave us that. If you look on the back of your bulletins, there are ways in which we may choose to participate in this and share life together in this faith family. All are welcome, so know that right from the beginning. After this worship of God, we will have First Sunday Fellowship, so come and laugh and eat. It is a joy-filled time that will feed our souls and our stomachs. So please stay even for a moment and just rejoice. Bible study continues. They're still in Genesis, and it will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Even if you haven't gone up to this time, please come. CWF Board is at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, April 6th. In the Cornerstone Room, and Thursday, 10 a.m., trailblazers are blazing through. They even walked in the rain with big umbrellas this last week, if you saw them on Facebook. Choir practice is at 7 p.m. on Thursday, and next Sunday is elders' breakfast at 7:30 a.m. Coming soon will be a walkathon. It's called Walk a Mile in My Shoes, for a fundraiser for Kick It. It is a Franklin agency that supports homeless youth in Johnson County. April 30th at Franklin Community High School. For more information, look on the back of your bulletin. You can go online and register. And I'm sure that Dave Seaver, he will be back by next week. I'm sure that he will share with you any information that you need also. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Yes, Stephen.
Today, we say goodbye to two people who have been integral in the music of this church and of the people in this church. And I just wanted to give an opportunity to say thank you to Megan Curran and Jesse Hamilton, who this will be their last Sunday with us, for everything that they've done. They've been here about 4 years. They were here doing music before I got here. And they helped us to foster a relationship with Franklin College. They've worked with our youth, and they've sung with us for a long time. So for all the hours that they spent with the youth of this church, and for every moment of stunning beauty that has come from their voices, please join me in saying thank you to them.
Dana, do you have anything?
I do not.
Okay, all right. All right, let's stand for our call to worship of God, and Janet will lead us, please.
Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord.
Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord.
How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
God of new life, may our spirit-filled church be empowered by our Easter faith.
Lord, our dwelling place in all generations.
Let us dwell together in blessed unity.
And if you haven't already, please sign the attendance pad and pass it down the aisle. Are there any visitors, any other visitors today? The Lairs have their grandchildren here. That's always good to see. Okay, the opening hymn is Gather in Us on page 284, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Faith, the light that is in me.
Let us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Good morning. It is so nice to meet you. Thank you for coming to say hello. That was very nice.
God is from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We saw the master." But he said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my fingers in the nail holes, and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it."
Good morning, young saints. I want to welcome you back from spring break. It looks like we're still missing some people, though, aren't we? And for any of the children that haven't come up here, after we release, we're going to go to Sunday school, so you're welcome to do that. Now, I know some of you went to some fun and exciting places while you were on spring break and some of you enjoyed your time off staying close to home. But either way, I want to know if any of you had any grand adventures on your time off, you know, something exciting and new. What about you, Elaine? Did you do anything exciting and new on your time off, your spring break? I'm thinking no. You know, whenever I think the...
She was about to open the back one.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to close it back. She pulled it open and I pushed it open. And I pushed it closed and this finger was in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And it was purple,
that's something you're going to remember for a while. Yeah. You know, whenever I think of the word adventure, I think of Peter Pan. You know who that is? You've heard of him? Yeah. You see, once Peter was in a fight with Captain Hook, and Hook would always talk about all the mean and evil ways he wanted to kill Peter, and Peter would just smile and say, "I think dying would be an awfully big adventure." Have you heard him say that? Well, that always sounded funny to me, because I always thought of dying as something scary and something to be avoided. Now, when I think of a big adventure, I think more of exploring the ocean floor while scuba diving, or shooting off into outer space and making stops on all the planets we can only visit with a telescope. You know, grand and special experiences that promise the excitement of unknown mysteries that may only come once in a lifetime. Of course, as I think about these things, my thoughts always end up with the mighty God that made all of these things possible. The God who created me, who created you, and created everything we see and know, and more things that we don't see and we don't know. So I guess meeting God would be the greatest of all adventures. The problem is, though, that our God and the place where God lives is a place of pure holiness, and we can't live there the way we are right now. So just like visiting the deepest parts of the ocean or walking on the moon, you need special equipment to survive. In the ocean, it's a scuba suit. In space, it's a space suit. But to be with God, you need to be born again, washed clean by the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. So while I may think of dying as something scary and to be avoided, Jesus knew that through his dying and rising again, he would provide for us a way to be with God forever. So through his sacrifice, he made for us what the Bible calls robes of righteousness, and that is our special suit of survival in eternity. So in all the beautiful things that happened on Easter, one of them was how Jesus became our tour guide on our biggest adventure in life, which is eternal life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, thank you for all your blessings, and especially for sending your son Jesus to make a way to be with you. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. We come together to prepare our hearts to speak openly to our Lord. We share our joys so that they might be multiplied, and we share our sorrows and our concerns and our worries so that they might be divided among us and our burden be lightened. I begin with a praise. Norval Wheatley, who is not here today, but he is out of the hospital. They called me, he and Margaret called me yesterday to let me know that he is out of the hospital. But what he is doing is they are having a big Easter dinner today at their house. So all the family is coming in because he was in the hospital during all of that time. So we just lift them up and we lift a word of praise and we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. I share with you the sorrow that many feel of Parrish and Lori Gross' family. Upon his return home to God after a long and most difficult fight for life, we include in the circle of mourning their daughter Peyton, Parrish's mom Patty and sister Natalie, Lori's mom Lois Self, Lori's brother Jim and his wife and children, Lori's uncle Jim, and all family and friends and doctors and nurses who grieve him. We pray for comfort and a Jesus peace and a soul tending for them all. And I just share with you that he was, the whole family stayed every day and for 2.5-3 months. And so at the time of his passing, there were probably 15 or 20 people, including doctors and nurses, in the room, and we prayed him into heaven. And so it was quite precious, and so there is joy and there is great sadness among us. His funeral service will be next Saturday, April 9th, visitation from 1 to 4, and then 4 o'clock for the worship of God and the celebration of his life and the funeral of his passing. Is there anything else, Lois, that you can think of? Okay. All right, well, we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Nancy Walker, daughter of Gordon Dunn and friend of Nancy Spiker, who has been diagnosed with lung cancer, and I'm told that she struggled with other health issues and struggled with her health for quite some time. We pray for comfort and medical treatment and God's presence be known in her life, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Dave Sieber asked that we pray for a dear friend of theirs, Ruth Hotstetler. She was hospitalized this last week. They did a kidney biopsy. I don't know the result of that. We pray for an accurate diagnosis, a treatment of healing, and we just lift her up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for all persons serving in the military and for all who serve and protect us each and every day. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. I invite Jim Allen up now to speak to us about stewardship and holy to the Lord budget.
Good morning, everyone. And I come here not to beg for money today, but thank you all for everything you did during the stewardship campaign that made it very successful this year. If you still haven't turned in your estimated giving card, there is an opportunity to do so by at least tomorrow. The stewardship committee is going to meet on Tuesday, and for the first time in many years, we are going to draft a proposed balanced budget. And I want to thank you very much for everything you've done. Thank you.
And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. O Lord, hear our praise. Are there any others that you would like to lift up before the Lord? Yes. Okay. Tracy's girlfriend, Lori, has cancer, and we lift her up to the Lord, and you also. It's hard when our friends are diagnosed with something. And so we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Anyone else? All right. Let us open our hearts and renew our faith and go to our God in prayer. Jesus, you are risen. You are with us. Keep us ever mindful of how you are part of our lives in a deep and profound way. Your light is shining even in our darkest times. We bring praise and thanksgiving for all that you are and all we hope to be in you, our Christ. You are, precious Lord, a light that defies our ability to capture and define. But you are the light that has a voice that speaks life to us, the light that has hands that hold and heal us. Thank you, God. In you, the light that is present with us changes everything for good for those who know you and love you. Thanks be to God. We humbly come and ask that you fill our hearts with hope. We bow before you, Almighty loving God, and ask the gift of your presence in every ordinary moment of ours, changing us into a sacred place where you dwell. Help us, O Lord, to see the gift of you through the eyes of faith, filling us with your peace in a world that can be a place of violence and tragedy and despair. Look around, we pray, O Holy One, at the tight, dead spaces of each one's heart that still refuse to give you entrance. Bring, bright morning star, your gentle but firm love. Begin to lift the layers of resistance that hang on tightly deep inside us. Open, God Almighty, one by one, those places in each life where we refuse to be overcome with surprise and joy. Open one by one those parts of each heart where we fight the entrance of real growth in your Son, Jesus Christ. Open one by one those aspects of spirit where each may struggle with the truth. Now, Lord of all, keep us open to the different and the unique. Help us to accept the unusual and also the ordinary. God of resurrection, God of the living, untomb and uncover all that needs to live within each one of us that waits and hopes for resurrection of spirit and emotion and of thought, of hope. Take us, God, who loves all, to pieces, people, places, and situations, and stretch us into greater openness. Open us, we pray, God of the universe, for it is only then that we will grow and change for the better. For only then we will be transformed into loving, faithful servants of yours. O God of heaven and earth, hear our prayer. For it is only then that we will know how it is to be in the moment of rising from the dead. We know that you love us. Forgive us, we pray, as we forgive others. Guard and guide us, O Lord, as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We celebrate our stewardship, and may we never doubt God's love, God's grace, or God's presence. May we be open to the spirit of generosity and graciousness within each one of us. And when we give our tithes and offerings this morning, may it be as if we hand them directly into the precious hands of Christ to be well used for all the possibilities he desires for us in his will and purpose for our congregation and the world.
Thank you.
generous God, you show us how to give when you give everything. You show us what it means to be your people when you become a servant, present day after day, in soul after soul. We know what you invite us to do. Grant us the courage and the faithfulness to do it. Receive what we have brought, knowing it is only part of what is needed. Receive our lives, knowing that we continue to withhold the better part. And make us impatient and discontent with our half-hearted selves. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Some things are holy and we applaud, and some things are holy and we are just within ourselves, aren't we? Well, let's take a big deep breath of God in and exhale all that is worrisome. We're going to be here a short while. I only preach about an hour, hour or two, and just seeing if you're listening. Let's go before our God. Oh, gracious and loving God, just go into this time of worship of you, where we ask blessing upon the message. May these words fade away, and may your message be loud and clear in spirit and in word, and then in deed among us. You are present. We feel you here. We know your presence. And so I ask that you bless us, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear you, and may we see what it is that Christ would have us see. Bless each one. Bless this message. And when we leave from this place, let us know that we have been in your presence and that we serve in our lives because of you. It is in the sweet name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. He's an old man now, this one who sits on the stool and leans back against the wall. His eyes are closed, his face is soft, and were it not for his hand stroking his beard, you'd think he was asleep. Some in the room assume that he is, but those who know him know that he is not. He does this often in worship. As the people sing or the words are spoken, he travels back in his memory, and he remembers his travels with Jesus and the disciples. The seasons have wrinkled his face, but they didn't soften his love or his accurate recollection. He has been with God, and God has been with him. He remembered the healing, the miracles, the signs, the voice. Oh, the beautiful voice of Jesus. He hears him say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he remembers that Jesus promised, "I will come back." John could hear him. John could see him. He could see his precious Jesus. These experiences were branded on his heart. The words were seared into his soul. John, the beloved disciple, would never forget. How could he? He was there. John looks around again at the church, small but earnest. They lean forward to hear the teaching. John looks at the listeners and listens to the teacher. John thinks about the one teaching and preaching. Oh, if he could only have been there, but he wasn't. John leans forward to hear, to listen to the teacher and thinks, what a task. Speaking on one he never saw, explaining words he never heard in the voice of Jesus. But John was there if they needed him. But what will happen, he thought, when he, John, is gone? Who will tell them that Jesus silenced the waves and fed the thousands and prayed for unity? That is when John, who wrote our gospel this morning, knew what he was about to do. In the light of sunshine, this old fisherman unfolds a scroll and begins to write. In the beginning, there was the Word. The story of resurrection in the Gospel of John was not only a glorious end to a story of Jesus' life on earth, it was also a beginning of another story, the story of the church. Now, the disciples must be prepared to live a life without the presence, the physical presence of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The story opens with the disciples meeting, much like the church in John's time, on the first day of the week, behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. This fourth evangelist, John, provides testimony not only of a strong and willing faith, but also a faith that falters. I don't know about you, but I appreciate that. Not perfection in faith, but perfectly seeking to be faith-filled. In the gospel for Easter Day last week and this morning, we read about faith and about doubt. Each double story of Mary Magdalene and the disciples and Thomas and the disciples and John, the beloved disciple, speaks of faith and doubt overcome by the miraculous appearance of Christ. These four experiences of the risen Christ are not random. They are recounted as further witnessing to a central conviction that they are different. There are different levels and types of faith. Throughout the Gospel of John, there is a faith based on signs and There is a faith that needs no sign. There's a faith weak and a faith strong, a faith shallow and a faith deep, faith growing and faith faltering. In this gospel, faith is not a decision once made, but a decision made anew in every situation. A case in point. Notice that the last convert in this gospel is Thomas, already a disciple, even one of the 12. This understanding of faith should be an encouragement to us as well as instructing us, for there are members of the church universal of congregations who may be made to feel guilty that their faith was not full borne out in one dramatic swoop experience. We are sometimes scornful ourselves of Thomas, giving him the nickname Doubting Thomas. But he is not unlike many of us. He needs the data, he needs the information, the statistics, the facts, the visuals. I appreciate the visual part because I'm a visual learner. That's when I learn best. So I need a picture or a visual demonstration. Ironically, Jesus helps open Thomas to the miracle before him. Jesus opening Thomas from his resistance by inviting him to touch his open wounds, to touch those wounds of the risen Christ that stands before him. In essence, Jesus says to each one of us, do not close yourself off. Believe, be open, receive the truth. Thomas needs to touch Jesus' wounds in order for his faith to take root and to grow. Jesus accepts that seeing, touching want in Thomas and in us. Our Savior knows what we need and when we need it. Thomas is essentially asking in his doubt a proof question. A common misconception people have in coping with life's troubles and hardship is that it's wrong to ask why, that a Christian simply accepts and never questions. And yet, Abraham, Moses, David, and Thomas, and many, many, many more asked why questions on someone else's behalf or on their own and struggled to understand who God was, is, will be. But the lives of these humans model for us a total reliance on God, even in the midst of questioning. Contrary to what we may believe, it is not a sin to doubt. Questioning, sincerely seeking, is acceptable to God, because in God's presence, you may ask any question that you want. Our God, who created the universe, is big enough to receive our questioning. And God never turns his back on those who ask questions. Never in the Old Testament or the New Testament do we ever see him turn his back on those who question and have whys of life. Sometimes I think he doesn't answer because we're not ready to hear the answer yet. Sometimes we don't have the capacity to understand, or it's too heavy for us to carry at that moment. In learning to depend on God, we must accept that we may not know all the answers, but we know who does. Learning to live with the mysteries of God may be our greatest challenge in life, but hope plays a major role in unanswered questions. Billy Graham was once asked if he believed the world was better or worse than when he had begun his ministry. Here was a hope-filled man, if ever there was one. He answered, worse. A really, really tough answer for a man who lived his life believing to the depths of his soul in hope. The harsh reality can steal our hope and may give us a time to say, I give up. And that is, if we base our hope on our actions, we may eventually give up altogether. But hope based on God's power and promises provides a different fuel. Resurrection means God's ultimate plans for this world will win out. It won't make our world problems disappear, but it will put a new face and give us a different perspective so that we can cope. We can make the world different. As a friend once told me, every deed of hope is an act of defiance against the realities of the world that would have us believe that what we do does not matter. Thomas and the disciples teach us that we cannot hide from God. God comes in the middle of their being hidden behind thick wooden doors, locked. But God comes into the middle of whatever we lock to God. And God says, I'm here, and will proclaim to us that he loves us, that he loves the world, that he has faith in us. Did you ever think about God having faith in you? He does. He entrusts us with this world every day. And we may not have access to worldly power, but we have access to God spiritually. The message of the risen Lord echoes the promises he made in the communication when he comes into the midst and they are so afraid. And he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Because he had promised. Peace is my parting gift to you, my own peace, such as the world cannot give. So when we have those times when there's no peace around us, and we can go into a place of Jesus' peace, it will calm you. It will give you a vision of what direction you are to take. The message is not that we will be magically released from the necessity of locked doors. Rather, it is a spiritual peace that Jesus offers that will sustain you and I, even when we can find no peace in the world. We are to extend this mission of peace and extension of God's love into the world. The gift of the Holy Spirit is theirs, is ours. It will give us empowerment. The Spirit is what gave them, gives us energy, inspiration, and the power to undertake this new mission. The Spirit is their authority. Jesus breathes on them and receives the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to us all, receive, take in, inhale. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of truth eternal. Many situations in the Gospel of John, I encourage you to read because many of your personal situations may fit right in. And as you read, I ask that you close your eyes and you listen to these questions. What is God doing here? And how can I be open to allow God to work within me or within our faith community? The gospel writer calls his community of Jews and non-Jews to follow the way of Christ. It is hard. It's a challenge. It is an adventure. But Jesus, and in Jesus we find grace and truth. In Jesus we will have life and have it abundantly. And the living question that I leave you with today is this. What do you need from Jesus? What do you need from Jesus to grow and flourish your faith, to make it more constant in your life? Write it down. Say it out loud. Say it to someone else. Say it to Jesus Christ every day. And then wait and watch and wonder. For even though Thomas needed the assurance of touching Jesus, God's plan is wiser than one physical presence. God wants to be with you, with me, with us, at all times, in all places, in all ways. And this is the way, through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God. Amen. The invitation is to come forward and be received and welcomed in hospitality. The invitation is in response to your experience of God this morning, your sense of being urged by the Spirit of God to come forward during the singing of our hymn of invitation, to unite with this faith family and be welcomed. We will wait in hope as we sing hymn number 346, verses 1 and 3, Where He Leads Me. This is quite a treat. I'm going to ask you a question right here. I'm going to get on this side so they can see you. Can you see her? Yeah. This is Eileen Fair. Most precious. Most precious. Well, I have one question for you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and is your personal Lord and Savior and Lord and Savior of the world?
I believe with all my heart.
Then we welcome you. We welcome you into this place called family, a faith family. And you will add such joy and sweetness to us. And we are thankful for that. And we thank you for walking down in front of all of us. Okay? All right. Afterwards, please come and greet her. You're going to walk her back. All right. You may be seated. This is the table of our Lord. The meal is the Lord's Supper. Jesus says all are welcome. He laid down his life willingly for each one of us. So be open and in great faith or little faith, trust, hope, love, without seeing or physically touching our Lord, receive the precious Lord in bread of life and cup of mercy. It is his desire that each one of you share in this meal. Let us prepare our hearts to receive our Lord by singing hymn number 384, Here at Thy Table, Lord.
Let us feel thee near in love. at thy table, Lord, let us be in awe of your loving power. Let us pause. Pause to breathe in your presence. Let us always have this Easter faith, this spirit that we feel here, for we do feel you here. Let us take this sweet spirit and share it. Share it always. In your name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we continue our prayers to you and prepare to receive the cup of salvation, we take this cup, which reminds us once again Jesus and the blood that was shed for us. As we give thanks for this cup, we realize that we come to this table not because we must, but in answer to the invitation of Jesus. With deepened commitment, may we face each day of this new coming week assured that we are not alone. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
on the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed. He gathered his disciples together. He took the bread and he gave thanks for it, and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. As we prepare ourselves to leave this place of sanctuary, to go out into the world, I ask that you allow me to bless you, that we sing a song together, remembering that we are united, we are one part of the body of Christ, and that when we go from this place, we've been in the presence of our Lord, and the Lord goes with us. So if you'll stand, and we will sing hymn number 556, the first and last verses. I forgot to say something about Christy's mother, and I am so sorry. Okay. You want to give us an update?
She went to the cardiologist this week, and she's probably going to have a heart valve replacement in the next year.
Okay. And so we lift Christy and her mom and all family and all who know and love her mama. Her mama's name is?
Janet House.
Janet House. And so we lift her up to the Lord, and we pray, "Oh Lord, hear our prayers." I'm so sorry. So sorry. Please allow me to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May Jesus' peace live in the chaos of your lives and bring calm to the storms. May there be so much hope, faith, and love in every part of every minute of every day that there is no room for doubt. And may Jesus breathe on you and you receive into yourself the Holy Spirit to give you energy and inspiration and the power to undertake the mission of love, God's love, into the world. Peace be with you all. You are well loved. Go in peace.